Yehovah Yireh, Yehovah Yireh. You know, there are a lot of mottos in our world today, right? You can think most organizations or businesses or companies will have a motto of some sort. Subway is eat fresh, right? Burger King says have it your way. McDonald's is I'm loving it, right? We have all these different mottos from different companies. Even nations have mottos. Our nation's motto, I believe is the national motto, is In God We Trust, which is a great motto, one that we should have as Christians, right? In God We Trust. If you look on any of the coins which are minted in the United States of America, they have something imprinted on them. It is E Pluribus Unum, which means out of many, one. Another motto, right? So there's all of these mottos that you can have for a company or a business. I think of the FFA organization, right? They have a motto. They have had it for many, many years, and it's a great motto. Learning to do, doing to learn, earning to live, and living to serve. And these mottos all have something about them that's trying to draw someone in or say something that's encouraging or beneficial, and it's something to remember. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Here we're going to look at an example today of one of the greatest men of faith I think we can find in the Bible, and that is Abraham. Now, as we look at Abraham's account here, I think of a couple things. One of them is another motto, which if you go on your computer and you type in the greatest motto of a company, the number one search would probably come up with Nike, right? Nike would say, just do it. And I think that that's something that Abraham probably had in his life as a motto. But look here in Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. And we're going to make full circle and come back around to this by the end of the lesson. Verse 13, then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Yehovah Yireh, the Lord will provide. I think that that probably was Abraham's motto throughout his life. I think Abraham was the type of man that said, I'm just going to do it. Yehovah Yireh, because I know and I trust that the Lord will provide. Now, and to really understand, I think, Abraham's faith, we need to rewind a little bit farther here in Scripture. So go back with me to Genesis chapter 12. Now, chapter 22 is going to be the heart of our lesson. We'll spend most of our time there. But rewind back to Genesis chapter 12, because I think we really have to understand this as we begin. Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse number 1, now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God makes a promise to Abraham here in chapter 12 that there's going to be these great blessings coming through you, Abraham, and through your descendants. Well, at the time, Abraham doesn't have any children. Okay? So continue with me then. To the next chapter, if you go to chapter 13, look at verse 16. Here God says to Abraham, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. So he's telling Abraham, you're going to have a whole lot of descendants. All right? Well, let's continue a little bit farther. Go on to chapter 15. Once again, Abraham doesn't have any children yet. And God's telling him he's going to have a whole bunch of descendants, more than the dust of the earth, right? Or as the dust of the earth. And then look at chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And Abram said, "O Lord God, what will thou give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since thou hast given me no offspring, one born in my house is my heir." All right, now, back in the 1920s, there was a man who unearthed a whole bunch of these clay tablets. They were called the Nuzi tablets. There were about 5,000 of them. And archaeologists date them as far back as the 13th to 15th century BC. So that would have been around the time of Abraham. And all of these clay tablets speak of things done economically and culturally in those days. One of the things culturally in the days of Abraham is that if someone didn't have a child, then their servant, the first servant born in their house, would be their heir. And so this goes right along with what Scripture is teaching here, and or saying that Abraham, in his culture and his time, was saying, "Well, I don't have a child, so Eleazar will be my descendant." This must be what the promise of God is coming through. And God looked at Abraham. He's like, "Nope, that's not it." All right, look at the next verse, verse 4. "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This man will not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir.'" And then he again is going to tell Abram, there's going to be a whole lot of descendants coming from you. Verse 5, "He took him outside and said, 'Now look toward the heavens and count the stars,'" if you're able to count them. "And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" So God once again is telling Abraham, you're going to have a lot of descendants, and it's not coming through your servant Eleazar, it's coming through your own son. All right, so Abraham here has a little bit more information. Well, move with me a little bit farther here in Scripture. We're going to go to chapter 17 and verse number 19. Okay, and this whole process is taking a while, and now Abraham is thinking, he and Sarah are thinking, well, we're both older and we don't have any children. God said it's going to come through one of my children. Okay, so another thing that the Nuzi tablets said is that often handmaids would have a child for the wife if the wife could not have any children. So culturally here, once again, Abraham and Sarah are thinking, well, maybe it's going to be Ishmael then. And God says, nope, that's not it. All right, chapter 17 and verse 19, God said, "No, it's not going to be Ishmael, but Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." And so now God is telling Abraham, he's getting really specific. He's like, all right, you're going to have a whole lot of descendants, and it's going to be through you, but it's also going to be through Sarah, your wife, and his name is going to be Isaac. And so now, Abraham being 99 years old, Sarah being 90 years old, they have a son and they name him Isaac. And God said, that is who your descendants are going to come through. And that's who the promise for all nations are going to come through that I promised you back in chapter 12. All right, so all of this information is given then to Abraham. And go to chapter 21. We're almost back to 22. But here in chapter 21 and verse 12, once again, God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the latter or your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you to do, listen to her. For through Isaac, your descendants shall be named." Now go to chapter 22. All right, so Abraham knows all of these things have been promised to him by God. So in this morning's lesson, I first here wanted to look at the promises that were made to Abraham. And then secondly, I want to look at Abraham's faith and then relate that to us today, okay? Apply it to our faith today. And I want to see, is our faith like Abraham's faith? Do we act or react like Abraham did? Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1. Now it came about that after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. The first thing I want to note is that Abraham was listening. Abraham was listening to God when God spoke to him. Just a couple months ago, Luke and I were in the truck together, and we were driving down the road, and he was rattling off questions like normal, and we were having this discussion, and in the midst of that somewhere, I got distracted, and I started thinking about something else that was going on that day, and I don't even remember what it was, but I can remember all of a sudden Luke saying, Daddy, Daddy, and he hits me on the arm. I'm like, what? He's like, I just asked you a question. I said, I'm sorry, Luke. I wasn't listening. I was thinking about something else. I had something else on my mind, and I wasn't listening to you, which was far more important than whatever I had on my mind. Abraham, when God spoke to him, said, Here I am. He said, I am listening. And so an application for us today is, are we listening? In Hebrews chapter 1, God tells us how he speaks to us today. Hebrews chapter 1, and starting in verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets and in many portion and in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. In our class this morning, Josh also hit on 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, which says that all scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. He has spoken it to us. The Bible is how God speaks to us today. And so, what's our faith look like? Are we listening? When we read something in the Bible, are we saying, Lord, here I am. I'll do it. Go back to Genesis 22 and verse number 2. All right? Think about what Abraham has already done up to this point. If you reflect back to chapter 12 and verse 1, do you remember what God had told him there? He said, I want you to pack up, and I want you to leave your country, and I want you to leave your relatives, and I want you to leave your father's house. Abraham's already been asked to do some extreme things by God, but as you note earlier on, he's willing just to do it. When he said, Here I am, was listening to God, he turned around and he did what God had asked him to do. Some very extreme things. I remember when I was in college, I spent a few years there in Springfield because I was going to Missouri State University. And I was living in an apartment because I was taking various classes throughout the day. And then I was also working part-time at a job in Springfield. And so it was difficult for me to traverse back and forth from here, so I was living in an apartment in Springfield. And I don't know how many times I thought to myself, I cannot wait to move back home, to get back here. Just think about how many people, after they graduate or leave, come back to this area. Why is that? Because it's wonderful. We love this place. We love the community. We love This is just home for us. And so you could almost put yourself in Abraham's shoes back in Genesis 12 and think, that would be a big ask if God asked us to just pick up and leave home and leave our relatives and leave our family and move to a country where we were a stranger and a foreigner and to live there. I'm sure that David and Jaden loved being in another country, but I bet they also loved coming back home because they were strangers and foreigners in that country. But Abraham was asked just to go to another place and be a stranger and a foreigner there, and he went, and he did it without question. Are we the same way? In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus makes a statement that anyone who's not willing to leave father and mother for my sake is not worthy of me. So as Christians, if God asks us to leave father or mother or family and follow him, are we really willing to do that? Well, that was the faith of Abraham. What's our faith then look like today in application? All right, Genesis 22 and verse 2, what does God ask him to do next? Because this is, I think, on another level. He said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. So God starts off here by saying something that Abraham knows already, but God is just expressing it as though, Abraham, I know. I'm asking you to take Isaac, and I know he's your son, I know he's your only son, and I know that you love him. And he says, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Now that's a big ask. God is telling him to go. Abraham knew already. Think about what's in Abraham's mind. He knows that God's already promised him that Isaac is the one whom all nations will be blessed through, whom all of his descendants will come, is going to be through Isaac. And Isaac hasn't had any children. And now God's telling me to go offer him as a burnt offering? Well, what's the faith of Abraham there? Abraham is asked to make a sacrifice. What's the application today? Does God ask us to make a sacrifice today? Keeping your finger here in Genesis 22, turn with me to the New Testament. All right, we're going to go to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Romans 12 and verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Is God asking us to make a sacrifice today? Well, yeah, he is. He's asking us to make a sacrifice or many sacrifices. And so when we face a point in our life where we're going to have to sacrifice something, do we choose God? Well, here in Genesis 22, God asked Abraham to make quite the sacrifice. What does verse 3 say? Look at it with me. Genesis 22 and verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Abraham did not hesitate. Now, in my mind, like, I tried to put myself in Abraham's shoes here, but I would imagine that if God asked me to do something extreme like that, I might think, I'm going to mull this over a little bit, right? I'm going to just chew on that for a little while. I think I'll go ahead and do it, but give me a minute. right? I've got to mentally work through this. Well, all we're told is that Abraham rose early, and he's going to go. He did not hesitate, right? But he also doesn't hesitate. He also doesn't put the burden on somebody else. Look at what he does in verse 3. It says, he saddled his own donkey, right? He rose early in the morning, he saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place for which God had told him. He didn't hesitate, and he's going to do the work himself. You know, Abraham had, we can tell from other passages, he had plenty of servants. He could have asked anyone to go saddle his donkey, to cut and split that wood. And he could have even asked someone to go take Isaac and offer him on that Mount Moriah. Because it would have been very difficult for Abraham to do that. He could have said, well, I'm going to do what God said, but I'm going to have this servant do it for me to make it a little bit easier on me. It's not what Abraham did. He didn't hesitate, and he didn't put the burden on somebody else. He did it himself. So what's application for us today here? Do we hear what God tells us to do and say, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it right now? I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to put it off for another day. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it myself. I'm not going to expect someone else to take this burden. Now look with me at verse number 4. It says, on the third day, so he's been traveling for a while. You just think of the time that he spent probably imagining what this sacrifice is going to be like. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from afar. Now, why is that important? Why was that even written down? I think it's just another reminder of Abraham's faith and his motto of Jehovah Yireh, the Lord will provide. He's been traveling with his son, thinking about the sacrifice he's going to make, and now he sees the place where it's going to happen. Back in 1945, there was a battle in World War II, the Battle of Okinawa. And one piece of that battle was at a place called Hacksaw Ridge. And if any of you have ever watched the movie Hacksaw Ridge, I from what I hear, it's a fairly accurate description of what that battle was like. And you had all these men that had to climb a 400-foot sheer cliff to the battle at the top of that ridge. And there's a scene in that movie where the 2nd Platoon was standing at the base of this cliff, and they were all waiting for one man. His name was Desmond Doss, and he was a medic with the 2nd Platoon, and this wasn't the first battle that he had been in. In fact, history tells us that he had many battles before this where he did what he's getting ready to do in the Battle of Hacksaw Ridge by saving many, many lives, pulling men out who were wounded and injured and saving their lives. And there was a practice that Desmond Doss had. He would always pray before the battle. And his whole platoon respected him enough that they did not advance until he was done praying. And so Desmond Doss finishes his prayer, and these men look up at this 400-foot sheer cliff, and they advance. I thought of this when I thought of Abraham. Abraham looks at Mount Moriah, and he knows how difficult that place will be. He knows the struggle that will be there, but he goes anyway. What's the application for us today? We know what God's told us to do, And we're fine with doing it. We're going through life, but then all of a sudden we see it. And we're like, that's going to be hard. Do we continue to advance? Or do we hold back, thinking, I don't know that I could do that? Abraham moves onward. Now look at verse 5. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. We will worship and return to you. This is one of the verses, I think, when I had studied and read this before many times, I kind of moved through quickly and didn't catch the depth of what Abraham was trying to say. Remember, I believe Abraham's motto through all of this is Jehovah Yireh, the Lord will provide. And we catch a glimpse of that in verse 5, where he is telling the men with him, hold on here, Isaac and I are going to go ahead, and we are going to worship God, and we are going to return. Abraham trusted God to provide whatever the case was. And I don't think he really understood what God would do for him, but he just trusted God would take care of it. Turn with me quickly to Hebrews 11. So in Hebrews 11, we have this written down, you know, this hall of faith, of men of great faith. And obviously one of those is going to be Abraham. But look at what it says here, Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises of offering up his only begotten son, it was he whom it was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. And he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. And so Abraham trusted that even if he were to kill Isaac and offer him, that God could just raise him back from the dead, because he knew the promise God had made. And so he was going forth headlong into this endeavor, into this hardship, knowing that God is going to take care of it. I trust the Lord will provide. Remember what James said in James chapter 1? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. I think Abraham was a man of great endurance. Now look with me back at Genesis 22. Starting here in verse number 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together, and Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Once again, we see that Abraham trusts God to provide what was needed. What's our application today? You can think of a verse like Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things are going to be added to you. God's going to take care of the things in this life if we are seeking first Him and the kingdom. Do we trust God enough? Do we have the faith of Abraham to say, I'm just going to do what God said, and I trust God will take care of the rest? All right, look at verse 9. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Abraham is doing what God asked him to do. He's in the midst of something difficult, and he's still listening, probably with relief in his, you know, in his voice, saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'm listening again. Verse 12, and he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Isaac is a type of the anti-type Christ, which was to come. And as you see here, the angel of the Lord in verse 11, I think in a deeper study of this, you would understand that is Christ himself speaking to Abraham. I know that you're willing to do it, and do not harm the lad. And so we see that Abraham did not hold back. He was going to do what God asked him to do. So what about us today? Do we hold back in the moment of trial? When we're actually in the midst of it, do we hold back? Or we do what God said? And are we still listening? Look at verse 13 and 14. Back to where we started our lesson at. Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Yireh, the Lord will provide. Abraham, through all of this struggle, always said, I know the Lord will provide. What's our application today in Romans 8 and verse 28, which is a lesson that I taught here a couple years ago. Romans 8:28, for we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. God always takes care of his children, of those who are following him. Now, we know that God provides things in our world today for all of the world, like he provides for the animals and the plants. He also provides for people who are not Christians, right? The rain falls. God sends rain on the just and the unjust. But God provides special providence for his children, for those who are following him and doing what he says. And for Abraham, Abraham was following God. Abraham was doing what God said. And so the Lord provided, and Abraham recognized that by naming the place Jehovah Yireh. One final thing here, look at the end of verse number 14. Because this is another one of those little, I think, nuggets of knowledge that I had missed before. But look at what it says. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. In the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. It was at this Mount Moriah that it was provided to Abraham, who was obeying God. And today, what is the Mount of the Lord? If you remember what Daniel chapter 2 talks about with this statue which was built of all these different nations, Babylon and Medo-Persians and Greeks and Romans, and there was a stone cut out of the mountain, and it crushed that statue. And once the statue was crushed, it grew into this mountain. And that was the kingdom which was going to be established by Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, we have the establishment of the church, and Jesus said, I will build my church, I will build my kingdom, right? And so that is the mount that exists today, and it is in the mount of the Lord that it will be provided. It is in the kingdom that it will be provided. It is in the church that it will be provided today. So where's your faith? Is your faith like that of Abraham? It's a challenge, I think, for all of us to listen to what God has to say and to not hesitate, but do it immediately and go forth with all that we have. And even when we see the trial ahead of us, even when we're in the midst of the trial, continue and don't stop, don't hold back, but do exactly what God says and trust that the Lord will provide. Jehovah Yireh. If you're not a part of the kingdom, if you're not in the mount of the Lord today, well, then you don't have that promise of providence for you. So I would highly recommend that you look into that. How do I get into the kingdom, into the church today? Well, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confess Him before men, and repent of your sins, and be baptized, and rise to walk in a new life, something different and better. And then you're in the kingdom, and then you have these promises. But maybe you're in the kingdom, but you've been holding back, and you haven't been trusting that the Lord will provide. Well, change your ways and get back right with God and trust in God to provide. I pray that you'll do that this morning as together we stand and sing to encourage you.